Hi everyone, my name is Stella. Welcome to the Gen Z Fever podcast again. After the last week, we have a very interesting interview that I'm being interviewed by Sandra for having a co-op job in Victoria Island, if you guys remember. So today, I'm very, very pleased to also loop my housemate into. She also like a student in SFU, and then we came in together and then have that co-op jobs in the same company. So lots of fun going on. Welcome, Jasmine. Can you briefly introduce your background to the audience, Jasmine?
Sure. Hi, everyone. I am a fourth-year SFU student majoring in finance and strategy, and this is my third co-op at BCI. Before this, I worked in investors relation for Ballard Power System, which is like a hydrogen fuel cell company.
Wow, very cool. So what do you think is the most important when you choose to study abroad in Canada?
The most important thing I would say is that, understanding your financial aspect as to, whether or not your parents can afford to help you and kind of, provide accommodation and all the necessary things in abroad. Before this, I wanted to go to US, and then I saw the budget that we had, which is US is
Fair enough.
something we can't afford. As an international, when you're new, you don't get a part-time job, at the very start. So you want to meet your basic needs. So your parents need to support that.
I
So,
agree. Yeah, I also agree that the documents that you have to do as an international student going to US is much more complicated and a long time waiting, and also the finance of very important aspect. But it's important to know. It's important
True.
to, assess those kind of things before you go and study abroad. So yeah, same with you. I feel like being in Canada is like much more affordable for my family because, like when I first come here, international student, especially in high school, you're not allowed to go do part-time job. So that's why our parents is the main and only support at
No,
that time.
exactly. And I also feel like, we are still part of like that North American Western culture, getting to know about everything, their study style, their life, their experiences. So we are getting in touch with those things.
Can you touch on some of your past experiences for the 3 years you stay here? What have you learned a most, and then what do you think you should do better?
Interesting. For past 3 years, well, unfortunately, the very 1.5 year when I came here was like COVID, which is like entire lockdown. That time, I kind of thought that mental health is very, very important here. The very biggest mistake that I made was I didn't fully kind of make use of the resources that SFU provides. So SFU does provide free counseling and all that stuff. I should have used that. But 3 years experience was a lot of ups and downs. I got to meet a lot of different people from different backgrounds and how they behave. One thing that I learned was you have to be flexible with everyone. As an international student, I kind of, share spaces. We don't have our own homes. We live in a rental houses. So landlords and landladies are someone you have to be flexible with. You kind of experience that tough situation. And I think you have also kind of experienced, how people can be rigid and how they can treat you and how you still have to be patient with them and try to, just deal and cope with the situation.
Right. No, I agree. I feel like, yeah, also the first 1.5 years, I think we came here around the same time in 2019, right? That's the time it's like maybe not the worst, but the worst for us when we come here. Not the worst for everyone, but the worst for us because like we're international students and I'm still in high school at that time. So I basically stay with the homestay family. For your reference, I stay in that homestay and then that homestay accommodation provided by Langara. So it's like they have the whole system going on where we pay for them, they pay for the homestay host to host them for like around 950 to 1,000 a month. I'm not sure about the price right now. And I feel it's pretty good at the first time, but when the COVID-19 hit, everything changed. Like, we stayed home a lot, and then we're not allowed to go out because of the COVID-19 safety. So it's actually a lot of hardship going on.
Exactly.
So talking about the past, we have the present. Now about the future. So Jasmine, can I ask if you have any, you know, future plan for yourself, you know, after you graduate, or just even after you done co-op job here, your third and probably your last one? I'm not sure, but like, yeah, what's your future plan
for
now?
Well, for the short term right now, before graduation, I do want to attend like one of the international case competition. And nudge towards more extracurricular activities, maybe JDC West, or maybe joining some business clubs.
Ambitious.
For after that, I do want to join Beam as well, so that I kind of have an experience in investment banking. For my last co-op, I want to do experience job in real investment bankings. Real investment banks. After graduation, I feel like I want to stay in Canada for a few years, get my PR, and then go back to India. Because I feel like Canadian economy, and sorry, all these financial aspects, I feel like Canadian economy is like a stable economy. We can't see big booms. We can only see recessions, inflations, or just stability. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, you know, countries where we are from, the Asian countries, are much more growing, and you have more opportunities to become millionaires and billionaires pretty quick if you kind of, you know, grab that opportunity in the right way. So for long period, I would say I'm just gonna go back to India, settle down, and kind of do my own business.
Wow. Now, sitting in front of me, I can see a future economics and financial analysis very soon. Very soon. I mean, like, right now, you have, like, a foundation, you know, layoff. But, yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. I feel like that's a very prospective and well-planned career path, or, like, life path in general. I also agree with you about the economic. It's actually, you enlighten me a lot when you talk about the Canadian economy, because I do believe that. I used to have that thought of, oh, because I'm from an Asian background, I know that my country right now is city developing, so it's like a very fast growing economy. So who knows, in like 5-10 years, like, who knows, like, Vietnam could be like another, you know, second country that could be like fast developed, or even in India we can see the same thing going on. But yeah, we see a lot of perspective. But cool. Just to give some context, because some audiences, they might be general, they haven't done any course in SFU or something yet. So JDC West, that Justin did talk about, is a very prestigious case competition training teams, if we can say in general, but they have so many different aspects that we can try. So for example, like academic teams, where you got in and you practice around like 20 hours a week, which is very intensive, but you can have like a very good case comp experiences from JDC West, from joining JDC West, and it's like a year long process of doing that. Plus traveling too. Beam is also like endowment fund, well managed by the SFU, the Simon Fraser University. And then when you got in, like Justin just said, you got like a huge background business about, you know, investing and, you know, just investing in stocks, something like that, to kind of like have a high return on investment for endowment fund, which would be a very, very strong business for investment banking later on.
Exactly.
You know, try the international case comp like Justin is going to, because I feel like that's the best way for me to go to Thailand.
I love
Thammasat University, and they have a lot of like case comp going there. So
imagine,
could make me go.
Imagine just traveling and doing case comps and SFU paying fees. Yes, I want that.
You represent for a very good university going there, so they actually have some background at university. Oh wow, that student is going from SFU. That's good to know. Very ambitious, but all of us, when we come here, we already pay a very large price.
True.
So we have to do something that kind of, you know, have a good trade-off of that one, right? So, fair enough. Yes, we talk a lot about, you know, activities that we can do at SFUs. First, I want to ask, because when you come to Canada, you right away go to SFU, right? So how do you find out the passion, the interest you have with being like a business major in SFU?
Before coming to SFU, I was like doing commerce in India. So for commerce, it's more kind of like general basic foundation of business, where you are doing like accounting, stats, business studies and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was more pivoted towards economics. But when I came as an international student, I came to FIC first, which is like Fraser International College,
right.
A private college which is affiliated with SFU.
Mm-hmm.
I was always passionate about business. So when I transferred to SFU, I thought accounting is my major. But, you know, the person who teaches you, a professor has a very big influence on the courses,
right.
Or the career path you choose.
Mm-hmm.
So let that professor be unnamed. He or she just, you know, nudged me towards finance because like he made accounting a dreadful subject for me. I did accounting for 2 to 3 years back in India. And after taking that professor and the accounting course, I was like, this isn't something I don't want to do now. But finance is really interesting. So finance kind of touch bases on accounting as well,
mm-hmm.
economics as well.
Mm-hmm.
It can be paired with economic strategy and accounting. So that's why I was like, finance is something I want to try. And SFU has a very good idea of doing a prerequisites, which kind of introduces like each and every concentration.
Mm.
So after doing like operations, HR and everything, I was like, numbers are something in my game. Mm. I like to do numbers. I like to do Excel sheets and all that stuff. So why not finance?
Mm. That's a very good answer. I feel like, oh my gosh, that could be like a self-interview going here. Anyway, I agree. Yeah, I agree that, you know, just teaching or education in general would have like very big influence on each individual. So that's why education system from everywhere should be accountable.
Yes.
Teacher exactly. should be accountable. We're not here to blame anyone. But sometimes when you put yourself out there and you see like, oh, some people are just like doing like want to be like a professional researcher mm-hmm. in their field,
yeah.
but they are being forced to teach students because then they can maintain the research status kind
exactly,
of things.
Exactly.
So it's kind of unfair for both parties here, for the students who want to learn that course and for the teacher who doesn't want to teach that course. See, that's kind of like unbalanced things going on here. So I feel like, yeah. On the flip side, we can see some very good teachers. Like I have a very good professor teaching me BDS 201, which mm-hmm. I already interview him. Okay, moving on. Since we have a very strong, heavily international student background, I have some facts or myths that I found online or being sent by my audiences, and anyone's like, oh, like I believe in this one, I believe in that one. Now, do you feel it's true? So I'm going to bring that to the table for you today,
sure.
for you to solve based on your personal experiences. First, international students are exposed to lots of hardships, cultural differences, lack of connection with family, loneliness, trash, language barrier. Sorry if I'm throwing like so many negative things on you.
No.
But do you think it's a fact or it's a myth?
Fact. Fact, fact, fact.
100%.
I okay. came here in 2020 when lockdown happened. I had no one. One place where I could have made a lot of friends was like university,
mm-hmm.
which went to lockdown. And I had literally no one. I was like a one-year depression spiral. And it was so hard. I missed my family every day. I had no one to talk to. And it's just literally difficult. So it's a fact, fact, fact.
I agree. But do you feel better now?
I feel much better. After
okay.
like lockdown, I have made so many good friends like you.
Aww.
I've met so many new people. And I feel like once you get here, when you overcome your loneliness, you are just the strongest person.
Mm-hmm.
And I have felt same way. I feel like even, you know, moving from Vancouver to Victoria is a big step. And I, even though I'm not alone, but still, sometimes you feel alone and you are like, ah, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Useless. You become stronger. So I feel
yeah,
like those
exactly.
kind of things, like, oh. It's not like my barrier right now. I can, you know, step on that easily.
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah, I feel also the same. I feel like the first few months I've been to Canada is like the hardest time in my life so far. But after that, I feel like we all grew up from,
yeah.
you know, hardships. We fought with that a lot. So we're like stronger person now,
True.
Which I'm proud of. I'm proud of everyone. I'm proud
no,
of you guys.
Proud
of myself.
You.
Second one, choose a business major. because it secures your future and you make lots of money out of finance.
Ooh, myth. Okay. Interesting. Because, nice. Like, I thought the same way that if you choose, like, a business major, you sucked at physics, chemistry, and bio. So I was like, what's the next thing which is interesting? And economics it was. Mm. But it's a myth that people think that if you choose, like, business major and if you choose, like, finance, you're going to make a lot of money. Mm. It's a myth, especially for females. Because, like, it's a very white, male-dominated industry.
Here in Canada.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, I went to, like, a finance career expo. And all the banks, investment banks, which were there, every booth I visited had, like, a special program for females because they have such a minority in that industry.
Do you, because of that payoff, so that kept stuff female from going to the industries because of, you know, they kind of like heavily, like our Asian background, like being female, like in the future you see yourself being like a mother taking care of your husband, your children, and then it's a lot of stuff going on. So yes. Is that like a barrier stopping women to sacrifice their, you know, their own life for their career?
I would say that is like a small portion of a barrier.
Mm-hmm.
When you are in like finance industry, even when I go to the finance classes in SFU, I have seen like so many, you know, guys just sitting in the class and just like 5 to 10% are just females.
Okay.
And every time there is, you know, question about stocks or something or investments, guys are the one who have like more knowledge. And this is not something wrong. It's just that, you know, females are more kind of like just stuck to like theoretical knowledge. Mm-hmm. Guys are more risk takers and they don't care about much stuff. So they do kind of practical stuff in investments.
Mm-hmm.
The other barrier is that I feel personally that men do think today as well, do think that females are not capable of doing investments. I can be wrong as well, but when I was working or the experiences that I have heard from my friends, they have said that, you know, sometimes people just think, oh, you are a female. What do you know about investments, right?
Okay. No, so. That's true. I agree with you. I feel like I also feel the same sometimes in my class.
Mm-hmm.
Coming to investment, coming to my own mom's advice when she used to saw me, like she was a panic when I opened like investment account here in Canada with my own money, by the way. She was like, you're a woman, you need to, you know, think about marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Which I believe it's not about like think about cultural open medical closeness, it's just like the generation gap.
Yeah,
it's true. The things that have been so common and so mandatory in the past for Asian women, especially in my country. So my mom just only said two things: play safe with money and think about making family, or you will be loneliness. You will be dealing with loneliness for your whole rest of your life.
Yeah.
Which I completely, you know, oppose all of them. Because I believe first, playing safe money, and then that's mean what? What is, does that mean that I have to always stay in my comfort zone?
Yeah.
And how do I define that comfort zone with my finance?
Exactly.
Right? Because yeah. If I have money and I know that I already pay for myself,
mm-hmm.
I already pay the things that I have to save, I have to pay for my living costs monthly. The things that I have rest is the thing that I won't touch on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why I do invest.
Yeah. Perfect. Mm-hmm. And I truly appreciate that. I feel mm-hmm. like being an independent woman, it's very important in today's world. You can't just rely on, you know, men for the finances or even your family on finances.
Right.
I am like 22 and I just tell my father if he, you know, I can't even ask him for money to meet my basic needs. Mm-hmm. I have to be more independent.
Yeah.
Right? I'm 22 and I am independent person.
Yeah. So, no, that's true. Like everyone should be not even like women or like men here. Like I would just say every youth people, they should be financially independent from their family or like even from their love, their spouse, because I feel like when you feel like you're dependent on someone else, you will lose that autonomy, you will lose that mm-hmm. freedom of joy, freedom of right. Sometimes people kind of rely on that one. People are like,
sure,
I'm okay with you like sharing my own finance and like that, but you will come to some scenario in your life that you feel like, oh, I'm not comfortable doing that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are. Two kind of people think about their future path. And the second one my mom says is about marriage, which we're touched on. I feel it's also about, you know, I also see 85 years old women, lots of women, I say women plural now, because lots of people are like very happily living a single life.
Yeah.
So it depends on, you know, sometimes if you're 40 and you feel like, oh, I want to marry that guy because I feel in love actually with that guy, only with that guy, go ahead. There's no age limit in, you know, getting married with someone else, right?
Exactly.
Like, love is so like barrier free. So that's what I'm going to say. International student travels a lot.
Ooh, that's an interesting one. From my side, I would say it's a myth. Because if I see my life, I haven't traveled anywhere in past 4 years now. I do want to travel. It's just I'm restricted with all the studies. I'm restricted with the co-op. Every time I plan to travel, it's like, I just have 4 weeks on my hand, or maybe 3 weeks. Yeah, am I gonna enjoy it? So I would say if you are like a student who can take a gap between your studies, then it's a fact that you can travel. But if you're a student who wants to, you know, graduate soon and who wants to build career more faster, then I would say it's a myth.
Do you think like a 1 year, one gap year would be like too long to travel?
If you are taking like a 1 year gap, I have seen people doing like 1 year gap and traveling because of the remote work culture, which is like pretty amazing. You're earning, you're traveling, and you're working. So I would say that's the best thing. But if you're just taking like a one gap year just to travel, and if you have all the resources, perfect. But and if you have like a job secured which you can go back to after 1 year, perfect, you can do that. But seeing as a international student life, especially for me, I can take a 1 year gap because I have to build my career ASAP and I want to retire soon. So I would say 1 year gap, one gap year for me is way too long. Maybe 2 months is enough. I can travel the world. World is not going anywhere. I am here, world is here. Just all I need is resources, good amount of safe resources.
Last but not least, there are a lot of scholarships for international students in Canada.
That's an interesting one. Because there are scholarships, but then there are some criteria as well. If you don't fulfill that criteria, you can't take some take those scholarships. For example, like in SFU, I've been applying for scholarship like almost 1 year now, and I wasn't able to get scholarships even though I meet all the criteria of GPA, the credits and everything. But it's very tough because they just give scholarship to limited people. So I would say it's kind of like a myth. So it also depends on your luck,
right?
So if you have good luck, then yes, it's a fact you can get scholarship.
I agree with that one. I feel like the same things. I feel like the scholarship system here in Canada would be way harder than and then way less common than the US or Australia, something like that, compared to other countries. Because I feel like here normally scholarship, if you get it, like the common one, it won't cover a lot for your tuition
exactly
and it's opposite with the US.
I was able to apply for like scholarships and awards which are just like 2,000 or 3,000, which is not even like half of my fee. And I pay like four times more. And I think there are some other resources like bursaries that you can apply in SFU, which is okay because they give you bursaries, which is like again 2,000-3,000 kind of a scholarship again. But there are some resources out there. If you want, you can take student loans at low interest rates, but you have to kind of study through the banks as well.
Okay, moving on. Thank you for solving a lot of fact or myths we have today, and it's actually a lot of, you know, enlightenment for me too when I learn from a senior student than me. Okay, I mean, you're like a lot, going a lot with the extracurricular activities in SFU. So what are the top 2 to 3 activities that you can suggest for freshmen only? going into business in SFQ?
First of all, case competition. Very, very, very important. So SFU, I don't know about other business schools, but SFU explicitly provides you an opportunity for freshmen to do like case competition and have an experience in that one. Secondly, I would say join business clubs, because I feel like if you're a freshman, you have more opportunity to be part of a business club than you being a senior student and trying to get in into a business club, and which I am doing, which is very difficult. So if you're a freshman, try to build more experience, and it's a great way to, you know, build your network as well. When you are in a business club, you are meeting so many people. And lastly, I would say a lot of networking.
Right.
Go to career expos, go to networking sessions, either it's of finance, accounting, or any other club. You build connections. Yeah.
That's very nice. So that's the top two and three that Jessie want to do in her first year. I mean, like, even it's not too late to do it now. I think it's good that you're aware of the importance of doing the business club. I feel like taking away from me doing business club is that I have good connection, good network. I learned a lot from the great VPs and also president of my club, which is nice because they've done those kind of things before.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, we're seeing this at you. So I know you gave a lot of advices, you know, both for activities and international casecom, but I believe there's two people who haven't done anything like that and who like still in high school. So if you have like three tips that you want to share to high school student, probably in our country, then I'm going to be specified for you. So probably in our country would want to go to Canada to study business major. So they could be, I could give an example, they could be like people already graduate from, you know, commerce or something, like already senior in their country.
Yeah.
And they want to apply for SFU in business major. Do you think that there's anything that they should be concerned about or like consider about?
I feel like if you are an international student trying to get into universities in North America, even if you haven't done any extracurricular activities, just be confident and just be true in your application. If your application reflects like your skills, your hobbies, and your passionate about something, try to reflect it in your application. Because I remember when I was transferring from Fraser International College to SFU, I was on supplemental application, which is like I have to go through an interview process.
Yeah.
And if I pass that interview, then only I can get into a business program. So during my first year in Canada, during my first year in FIC, I didn't do any extracurriculars. The only extracurriculars I did was in back in my home country. But during my interview, I did tell them how I am passionate about, you know, business and what I want to be and what I want to do and who's my inspiration. So trying to communicate all those things, trying to reflect your skills, even those skills comes from, you know, just sitting in the class and observing and listening and how you have, you know, friends and how you deal with the situation tells you a lot about people. So communication is the best way you can get in, even if you don't have any extracurricular activities.
Now, see, we have an expert in interviewing. I agree. Yes, I do see some of my friends saying that they are afraid of applying for a job, university, good university, especially because they don't have a lot of strong extracurricular background, which I kind of disagree. I agree with you because I disagree with them. Let me clarify. I was like, I'm fast thinking. But yeah, true. Like, if you have that kind of like passion going on with business major, which sure you should when you pursue business major, and you know, you learn a lot of good things from your teacher, from your friends, like, just, you know, bring that on, like, you know how to tell that kind of interesting story to others, influence on others. That's another successful tips that we can have.
I'll tell you something. So my very first co-op, it's very interesting how I landed it. So I did not have any extracurricular activities. I wasn't in any business clubs. I wasn't doing anything. I was just a very shy person sitting in SFU classes, applying for jobs.
Okay.
And a funny thing was, I only had one experience, which was like in retail, Bath and Body Works, sales experience. I got my very first interview from Ballard. And I did my interview, and I think during that interview, I still remember, I just communicated my skills. That's it. Every time they are asking a question, even though it's a question about a general thing, my hobbies or my passion, I am trying to communicate my hobbies or passion in a way that it shows my skills and how it aligns with the job.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the job on the spot on the very first interview. Because I have heard so many people saying if you don't have an experience prior to applying jobs, that you can't get a co-op. The first co-ops is so difficult to get in. That's a myth. You can get anything you want with, you know, limited experience as long as you can communicate your skills.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now we see communication skills very, very, very important. Yeah. It's not about a story you tell, it's about like how you convey the message exactly. that you want others to listen to.
Exactly.
Which is like skill to learn.
Yeah.
To unlearn, relearn, and learn more. So yeah, I agree. Yes, I do agree of like, you know, having a great communication skill can, you know, up you a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Up level you a lot in your life. Any area.
Yes.
So that's interesting story of Justine sharing about how she got in the very first co-op job from the very first interview, Jens. Also wrap up our episode today. But you know, Justine is very, you know, interesting, important person recently to my life. So I feel like I'm gonna, you know, write another script that dive in more, you know, about the spec that she think about the economy. JK. No, you know, but just a co-op student, doing co-op financial positions in Victoria Island. So what's the life size doing that? Thank you, Justine.
Thank you so much.
For being here and bring that into interesting international conversation with me. I will also thank you guys for the time you guys spent to listening to this podcast, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.